This is Justin Miller, KBOO's underwriting coordinator. Every day, local businesses support KBOO through program sponsorship or underwriting. These underwriters are people like you, progressive, diverse, and supporting real radio. So when you hear an underwriter's acknowledgement, consider giving them some of your business and telling them that you heard about them on KBOO. If your business would like to reach out to the area's 55,000 most diverse and progressive listeners, you can learn how at kboo.fm/underwriting, by email to underwriting@kboo.org, or call Justin 503-231-8032. KBOO Underwriting. Your clients are listening.
KBOO at the Clinton, a monthly film screening at the Clinton Street Theater, is proud to show Five Broken Cameras on Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. The first ever Palestinian film to be nominated for Best Documentary Feature, Five Broken Cameras is a deeply personal first-hand account of life and nonviolent resistance in a West Bank village surrounded by Israeli settlements. Shot by Palestinian farmer Ahmad Burnat, who brought his first camera in 2005 to record the birth of his youngest son, the film is structured in chapters around the destruction of each one of Burnat's cameras. Again, that's Five Broken Cameras, Thursday, December 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Shadows of Liberty Screening and Media Reform Action Tour, Friday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at the Oregon Labor Center in Portland. The documentary film Shadows of Liberty reveal insider accounts of a broken media system with renowned journalists, activists, and academics, including Amy Goodman, Danny Glover, Julian Assange, Norman Solomon, Chris Hedges, and more. This film champions the idea of an independent media where truth and integrity are the norm, not the exception. Again, that's the Shadows of Liberty Screening and Media Reform Action Tour, Friday, December 12th, 7 p.m. at the Oregon Labor Center, 3645 Southeast 32nd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, December 9th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guests are Kathy Kelly, activist with Voices for Creative Nonviolence. And if ever we lived in times when we need a voice, and many voices, as many as possible, we need your voice. Raised in solidarity with Kathy Kelly and other activists like her. She's going to trial tomorrow for protesting the use of drones by the U.S. military on civilian populations. We also are joined today by Cordelia with Cascade Forest Defenders. The Elliott State Forest, once again, under attack. This forest is beautiful, ancient, pristine. It belongs to all of us, but far more importantly, it It belongs to generations to come. Just as air and water indeed belong to all of us, despite the efforts by corporate interests to privatize virtually everything, the ground we walk on, the air we breathe, the water we drink. And if they can't privatize it, they poison it. And that's the end of the story there. Well, the State Land Board and Cascadia Forest Defenders, Cascadia Forest Defenders are gathering at the Capitol steps and performing a satirical auction of the State Capitol building before leading a march to the State Land Board meeting slated to make the final decision on Elliott management. It says, Cascade Forest Defenders, and I quote, "It would be ludicrous to sell the Oregon State Capitol building for profit. Why is the Elliott any different? Good question." The governor, who is a member of the State Land Board and an advocate of privatization, what a huge disappointment Governor Kitzhaber has proved to be. And if anything, it's a bellwether of how utterly terrible and disastrous a Republican governor would be. Were Oregonians foolish enough to elect a Republican as governor of the state of Oregon, it would mean it would be indeed the death knell for all the rest of our forests. Right now, the clamor for logging, what's left of the forests, it rises ever louder and more strident with each passing month and with each parcel, as they call it, a parcel. Don't you love it? Done up in brown paper wrapping with a bit of string and a few stamps on it. Parcel of land is up for grabs. The timber industry falls over itself trying to get its hands on the last of our trees. And let's not forget, a managed forest is not a forest. It's a tree farm. Forests manage themselves. And on that note, we're going to speak with Cordelia Finley with Forest Defense now. Good morning, Cordelia. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Hi there.
Well, once again, it's the Elliott State Forest. Can you talk a little bit about how critical this the issue is right now? More people in Salem, the better. More voices raised in defense of Oregon's, Cascadia indeed, forest. Could you just bring listeners up to speed? Because we've been seduced again by, you know, people waved, the torture report and all these other issues waved in people's faces, and everyone leaps up and screams their heads off. But what we really ought to be doing is hitting as hard as we can every single elected representative who has any sort of control over our forests. Where are we right now with this issue?
Well, right now I'm actually calling in from the State Land Board office, or the State Land Board meeting, which is taking place in Salem. State Land Board, which is comprised of Governor Kitzhaber and Ted Wheeler and Kate Brown, are discussing the kind of options on the table for management of the Elliott. One really great piece of news is that they are talking about taking privatization of the forest off the table, which means that they would not sell it to Big Timber, and that's great news. But Cascadia Forest Defenders also hopes that they that the land board will choose an auction that also removes clear cuts of old growth, never before logged forest, in the Elliott State Forest off the table as well. And that's about 40% of the forest.
It's about what? What did you say? Sorry.
About 40% of the Elliott State Forest contains trees that are over 100 years old. Sure.
No, go ahead, please.
Yeah. So just like a little bit more background about the Elliott. About 2% of Oregon coastal watersheds are in the Elliott, yet about 20% of coastal coho salmon originate from the Elliott's rivers and streams, which make it vital to the coastal coho population and its habitat to the marbled murrelet, which is a threatened seabird, northern spotted owl, and is really just a very necessary piece of property for those species, and also for people who live in Coos and Douglas counties and hunt and fish and camp and enjoy using their public lands.
I wonder about something here. You say 40%. old growth. The surrounding areas and, well, say the rest of the Elliott Forest, isn't it necessary? Habitat is, you cannot take a small chunk of habitat and set it aside and say, okay, we're going to preserve and protect this. Isn't it necessary, if you're going for the survival of plant and animal species, to have a large, contiguous stretch of land for these? Could talk a little bit about habitat and how critical it is.
Sure. So I can speak a little bit. Well, one interesting thing about the Elliott specifically is that there are almost no parcels of land in the Elliott, no timber sales that could be sold off in the Elliott that would not include trees that are over 80 years old.
And so hang on a moment. Hang on, Cordial. On that note, I hate to say it to you. We're out of time at this end. I want to thank you for being in down there. Maybe you can join us again tomorrow with a follow-up report, because I want to, I seriously need to know, and I know our listeners need to know, how solid the agreement is and going forward, whether we what we can expect, because the timber companies are very devious. They have no problem breaking laws if it suits them. And we would love to have you on tomorrow to follow up with the results.
Sure.
Thanks a lot.
I encourage all the listeners to check out forestdefensenow.com.
And we'll put a link to that on the website when and wherever possible. Cordelia Finley has been my guest today with Cascade Forest Defenders. Thanks for that, Cordelia. We now are joined by Kathy Kelly with Voices for Creative Nonviolence on a day when they say that they've come out with a torture report. If anybody believes anything in it, please, I mean, don't make me laugh. This, though, is drones and activists who are standing up for the people who are affected by this deadly and odious form of warfare. Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
We're delighted to have you here. So there's a trial, there's a trial, and we are here concerned. We stand in solidarity with you. Can you listeners need to know why you are going to be facing a trial tomorrow?
Well, I am Georgia Walker, crossed onto a base where the drone warfare is being operated over various countries, including Afghanistan. And we had a loaf of bread. We wanted to deliver a loaf of bread and a letter to the commander of the base, and we weren't allowed to do that. We were instead arrested, and it's fairly likely that the judge is going to say the only question that he's interested in is, did we cross the line or didn't we? So that's not what we're interested in. We feel that the base and the drone warfare should more or less be put on trial.
It does. It's about time. It is clearly a violation. Drone warfare, there's nowhere. Are there any rules, laws? There's nothing, no sort of control. No, so the U.S. is essentially behaving as a rogue state here by using these tools of warfare that have absolutely no regulation whatsoever. So the outcome, nothing ever stops you, and I'm sure, and this is obviously not the first time. What do you expect the outcome will be?
Well, one of my colleagues, Brian Terrell, did an action very similar to this, and he was sentenced, after he was found guilty, to 6 months in prison, and he and I have a similar record. So some lawyers have told me to expect the same, and it's interesting that by trying to give a voice on behalf of people who are trapped and very often impoverished because they're living in war zones, the judge will send me to be very, very close as a roommate, as a fellow inmate, quite likely, to people who are trapped and impoverished in our country, inside our prison.
And the coverage, news coverage, I think the best, in many cases, the more people know about your actions, the more they know, obviously, about drone warfare and how it is used as a tool of terror. It's amazing to me that we have this huge brouhaha about we're going to get information from terrorists about what they're up to by torturing them. And we're using the worst form of terror on the planet right now. The irony is inescapable. So you have people down, your group, Voices for Creative Nonviolence, down there and in full force. Is this going to be the same? This is the same Judge Whitworth, is it? It's Whitworth, I believe.
Yes, uh-huh.
And that's he's back right. again. The prosecutor, U.S. Air Force Daniel Saunders, says that if you plead guilty to the charge, you would seek a punishment of a month in prison. But that would be unacceptable, if I understand.
Right. I don't think we acted criminally. I think that we were actually exercising our responsibility.
Exactly.
Under the First Amendment, you know, you're supposed to assemble peaceably for redress of grievance. And even though a judge in the United States would almost never allow international law into a court, even though it does become the law of the land once the United States has signed the treaty according to Article 6, but I think we do have a responsibility to raise these questions because the people targeted by the drones get no due process. They don't even get interrogated.
Kathy, we're out of time. I apologize for that. We're over the limit. I'm going to put a link to Voices for Creative Nonviolence. I want listeners to be able to stand in solidarity wherever they are with Kathy Kelly and I believe it Georgia Walker when they face Judge Whitworth tomorrow. Thanks for that, Kathy. Thank you so much. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, December 9th, 2014. Janet Anderson engineered the show today for us. Kathleen Stevenson is the AM News Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Today on a special edition of Flashpoints from Alcatraz Island, we celebrate